Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, I'm welcoming back a good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, Entree Architect Community. Brian McCartney is with me today. Brian is the co-founder and CEO of Arcmark, a branding and marketing agency dedicated exclusively to architects. He's one of our trusted ArcOS business coaches inside Entree Architect Network, where he leads group coaching sessions on marketing, branding, strategic planning, all kinds of really cool stuff. You should be there in the Entree Architect Network, and you should join him for his business coaching. It's part of your membership. With over 36 years of experience, including work with Fortune 100 companies, Brian now focuses on helping small firms clarify their message, attract better clients, and build stronger businesses. Brian McCartney, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, Mark. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you come back. We talk all the time. I love talking with you about business. We are very aligned with our mission on trying to help architects build better businesses so they can be more successful, so they can make the world a better place. And so, you recently mentioned to me that you are working on a new business report that's going to be coming out, pretty in-depth document. I got a preview of it. And I wanted to have you come by here and chat a little bit about some of the findings that you've put together in this report. It's a pretty impressive document. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks again for having me back. It's always a pleasure to get to spend time with you. And we talk so much about business and how architects, you know, need to improve the business side of what they do, right? And, you know, we see this so often. And last year, I wanted to see, you know, I've been exploring different ways to try to back up some of what I say and what I talk about, right? Because I think a lot of people, I think some people, you know, there's a lot of noise in the world, right? And there's a lot of voices out there. But I think, you know, when you go and you actually do the research and you show people like, hey, no, here's the reality, it comes with a bit more credibility. And so, you know, you and I have partnered on the Business Index report, which, you know, has been quite revelatory over the last year or so.
Yes.
And we've seen some changes happening in the industry among those respondents. My first kind of exploration into this was the catalyst for our first meeting back in 2018-19, I think. My team had studied a small amount of architecture firm websites. It was about 300 websites. And we used a very unsophisticated tool back then. It was actually a free tool called HubSpot Grader. It was a free tool anybody could use online to test a website. And we actually paid an intern to test websites manually for like 3 months. And she tested about 300. We mostly were focusing on a very small market at the time. And even then, you know, there was a lot of revelations from that just small study. And over the years, I've wanted to increase that study. I mean, we've obviously tested more sites since then, but up until about a year ago, we had only tested about 700 maybe 800 websites. And so I found some more sophisticated tools that would allow us to test websites in bulk, and partnered with BQE Core, partnered with Lucas Gray, who you know over there, a great guy. He and I met up in New York about a year ago, and I told him I was doing this, and he was like, oh my God, this sounds like a great thing. And I was looking for, you know, a list of architects that I could test, and he happens to have a list. So he shared his list with me, and we used that as a kind of a preliminary pool for this report that's going to be coming out probably next week. You actually got a preview of it. We're just finishing up the final touches on it. It'll be available through BQE and their website. And of course, we'll share it as well. But, you know, we've seen some improvements since 2019. Obviously, architecture firm websites have made improvements in terms of some of the technical aspects of a website. So we've seen that the performance of websites, like the website speed and the maybe some of the technical, you know, how the website is coded, those things have improved. But where we're seeing some bigger challenges are more on the visibility side. And that's where we see a lot of opportunity still.
When you say visibility, what do you mean by that?
I'm talking about online visibility.
So being found.
Being found. Just being able to get found in search. You know, this is a conversation I usually have with a lot of architects, right? Who are kind of like, I can't get leads off my website.
Right.
I guarantee you, number one, that is absolutely not true. Most of our clients get most of their leads off of their website, and they're better qualified. They're ready to work with them. They're excited about working with them because they've gone through a website that has educated them about that architect and their approach. And so they're primed and ready. They want to work with that architect when they connect with them. But if you're not getting found, the best website is invisible,
right?
If you're not coming up in search, you know, your website is useless. You might as well not have one. But even if you take that away, right? Even if you say, well, oh, all of my clients come to me by referral. There's a study that we didn't do. It was actually done by Hinge Marketing, Hinge Research. And, you know, the latest version is that I've seen, it was done in 2019. So it was pre-pandemic, right? But still, it's very sobering. What they found, they surveyed about 1,000 AEC service buyers, right? People who buy AEC services, both residential, commercial, institutional, governmental, whatever. And a really good mix of people who buy these services, and they surveyed them. One of the questions they asked is, how do you research architecture firms, right? Or AEC firms? 84% said that they will go to a firm's website before ever contacting them.
Right.
Okay. So if we just take that alone, right? And you're telling me that you get all your business through referrals. What that number tells me is that even if they're referred to you, they're still going to go to your website. They're still going to do their due diligence. They're still going to educate themselves. They're still going to try to answer as many questions as they can to understand if you are in fact a good fit for them before they call you, right? Before they contact you. So your website really is that first window into your firm, right? They're there, they're looking at you, they're trying to figure out like, hey, was that referral like legit? Is this really somebody I want to work with? What Hinge also asked in this survey is they asked, have you ever eliminated a firm that you were considering based on their website? What did I say before? 84% said they visited a website. 83% said, yes, they had eliminated a firm because of their website.
Right.
So if your website is not working properly, if it's not answering the right questions, is, you know, that alone is a concern. But if you're not getting found in the first place, you're missing out on a lot of opportunity, because if that referral was looking at a firm that referred to another firm and they didn't like that firm, what are they going to do? They're going to go to Google. They're going to find another firm.
Right.
And if you're not coming up in that search, well, you're missing out. You're missing out on great opportunities.
And SEO and being found has changed quite a bit in the last 5-10 years.
And it's changed a lot in the last year.
Yeah. And so being found isn't the same process as it was 5 years ago or even a year ago. The fundamentals are the same, but you need to make sure. So my point is, even if you've designed a website and you've done the SEO work, right? And you have the SEO and that was done 5 years ago, it's time to check to make sure that the website that you have is still working.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of one of the questions that we wanted to answer too, is like, we know from our limited testing, you know, we have a tool on our website. You can go to our website. You can find it in our resources. You can audit your own website. And basically, we use that tool for this testing. So we know that in general, architecture firms, they score very poorly on these tests. Okay. Now, I did say performance is better. I will say also that performance is usually better because they're using tools that have improved and are better optimized for web browsing now. They're creating better sites to begin with. So we can kind of like the performance part of it, like, yes, it's better, but it's not better because of anything they're specifically doing. It's just better because our tools are better. Like we use a tool called Duda. Duda is a website builder tool, very similar to something like a Squarespace or a Wix type of tool, where it's meant to be a do-it-yourself type of tool. You don't need to be a coder. One of the big differences with Duda is that you can get into the code and you can customize things. But that aside, what Duda has done is they have worked very closely with Google to make sure that their websites are highly optimized for search. And so for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that, they've been the number one web builder when it comes to what Google measures is Core Web Vitals. And I'm not going to get into all the technicals, but just it's a standard.
Yeah.
They've been number one over WordPress, over Squarespace, over all these other platforms. And so that's why we use it. We're already starting out the gate with a better option, the better optimized option. And that's where we see that performance improving. Where we have the bigger concerns, though, is what you're talking about, SEO, search engine optimization. So search engine optimization has to do with things like, when you create a web page, there are certain elements on the web page. We call these tags. Okay. Now, I don't want to get into the technical weeds as much, but a tag is basically like they're standard elements on a web page. So you have a title, that is a title tag, right? You have a description. You also have tags that are related to images that you have on the page. These tags serve functional purposes for search engines. So whenever you do a web search in Google, when you see those web results, the tag is the title of the search result. The description is the text that you see in the search result. Then there's the URL, and then there may be other elements that are shown there as well. The alt tags, the images, the way we tag images, those are really important because they're used by search engines to understand what the images are because the search engines can't scan the images and understand them. So the alt tags, the image descriptions, are used to help describe the images for search engines. And we can use those strategically by embedding keywords and other things in there to help increase our search engine optimization. But those are also used by people with disabilities, like people with vision impairment. So they serve a accessibility purpose as well, which, as you know, architects, you guys are supposed to be accessibility experts, or at least legally. It's shocking to me how many architecture firm websites are not accessible to people with disabilities when they profess expertise in this area. So the other thing that I think was really kind of mind-blowing to me, and I'm going to dig into the report here a little bit. So only 14% of the 2,305 websites that we reviewed had what we call sufficient content, okay?
So what percentage?
14.
14% had sufficient content.
Had sufficient content. So what is sufficient content?
Yeah.
Sufficient content means that you have a minimum of in this case, 250 words on a page. That is a bare minimum, right? Like, I recommend to all my clients that you have at least 500 words on a web page. Not all web pages need that amount of content, but if it's like a home page or an about page or a services page, the important pages, the pages that are going to help you differentiate your firm, right? And help explain what you do and all that thing, you should have a minimum of 500 words. Now, in this case, only 14% of firms had at least 250 words on their website, on their web homepage.
On a single homepage.
A single homepage. And so if you are thinking about search engine optimization, it is all based on language. It's all based on the written words and the tags and things like that. So if you don't have 250 words to describe what you do, how you do it, who you do it for, why you're different, if you don't have that amount of words, you're really missing an opportunity. And I believe it was the majority of that 86% had less than 50 words.
Wow.
Shocking to me. I was like, whoa.
So that's an easy fix. That's some low-hanging fruit.
With AI? Come on. I mean, that's, you don't even have to be lazy to get that done.
So go check your website. Go count how many words are on the homepage. And go put a text block in and describe what your firm does and how it does it and who it does it for. And
exactly.
And improve your SEO immediately.
You know, and I also happen to be a Story Brand certified coach. So this just like, this drives me insane, man. It's like, because, you know, in Story Brand, we have these different elements that we want to make sure that we use to help people understand how you're different and what makes you a good choice for clients. And so, you know, 50 words, 250 words, you know, that's not going to cut it at all. And then we have things like some other areas. So across the board, when it came to SEO elements that we looked at, just to help people understand, we looked at 150 different data points in this study. Okay. So 2,305 firms, 150 data points we tested on each one. And when it came to SEO, the five biggest things that firms were missing out on, number one, title tags. Remember I mentioned the title tag is that description at the top of your search result. Only 12% of firms had proper title tags. So they were either too short, like home or, you know, about us, or maybe the firm's name, which is not a good title tag. Then there was meta descriptions. Only 25% of sites had proper meta descriptions. H1 tags, that's the first headline on your web page. Only 33% of firms had proper H1 tags, and only 26% had image alt text on their website. So only about a quarter of firms were adhering to proper accessibility requirements.
Yeah. And that's all pretty basic SEO.
Very basic
information. We're not even talking about any sort of special tricks. These are just make sure that the basics are completed on your site.
These are the bare minimums, right? And I will say it's not entirely architect's fault, right? You know, I work in the industry of branding and marketing. And quite frankly, I know a lot of firms out there, a lot of web designers are great designers, but they're not SEO experts. The site looks fantastic. It's wonderfully designed. But then you run it through an audit and you realize, oh, it doesn't have all these things that it should have. And so, you know, when you are an architect and you're thinking about getting a website, what are you most concerned about? You're worried about the design.
Right.
How am I going to look? How's this going to represent my thing? You're not thinking about SEO. And so, you know, if you don't have that knowledge and you don't have that background and you're just working with your local web designer or even an agency that, you know, you trust is going to handle it, well, they may not, they somewhere deep in their contract, it may just say, we don't do SEO. And that's, you know, something you have to do with somebody else. But if the site is not designed from the start for SEO optimization, it's going to be really hard to optimize it afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is what happens. And then your design needs to be changed and you get into all kinds of other issues.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy. RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's rcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So what else did you find in the report?
So I think one of the things that we found, okay, so overall score, right? I probably should have mentioned that first, but overall, we had 85% of the websites that we tested scored 60 or below out of 100. And in fact, the number of sites that scored above 60 was, I think it was around 15%. So 85% were below 60%. So I consider anything below a 70 to be a fail. Okay. I grade on a curve. It's pretty, well, it's not a curve, but you know what I mean. You got to look at all the factors in total. You know, for me, a 70 is like the bare minimum of what your website should score.
And that score is coming from those hundreds of data points that you were talking about that software is checking.
And only 1.8% of the sites that we tested scored above a 70.
Wow.
Yeah. That was like, whoa. I was like,
yeah.
And that is worse than what we tested back in 2019.
Can a high score website still look beautiful?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you have to, anytime you do a website project, you have to think about the project as a holistic thing, right? There are more than one objective. I will argue, and I've argued this many times with architects, your website, the beauty of your website, how well it represents your design aesthetic and so forth, I will argue is not that critical. And here's why. Most clients, that is not why they're going to your website. They're not going to your website to figure out if you're a good designer. They have no idea. They can look at all the images they want. And typically they do. They'll look at your images. They usually don't go to your portfolio first. That's something that a lot of architects are surprised by. They're like, what do you mean? Most clients are actually going to go to your homepage to figure out if you actually provide the service that they need. If you have, they might scan the list of projects to see if you have similar projects to what they're trying to do. But usually in the first couple of visits, they're going to look at your homepage. They're going to look at your about page to kind of find out, who is this firm? What have they done? You know, who are they? You know, who's the team? Another big gap. Most firms don't have information about their team. They might have information about the principal, but then they don't share the expertise that they have within their team. Big missed opportunity there. Then once they go through the about page, then they start looking at like, okay, well, how do they work? You know, what kind of information are they sharing? Do they have a blog? Have they answered any questions that I might be interested in learning about? They're looking for fit. You know, if they've been referred to you, they obviously probably have seen some of your work, or they know somebody who's worked with you on that level. That is not a big determining factor of a website for architects. I know a lot of architects are going to groan when they hear this, and they always do with me when I tell them in person, but it's just the truth. That's, you know, your website, you know, if this was 15 years ago, if we were back in, you know, 2005, 2010, you know, yeah, I would say your website is just your portfolio. It's your online portfolio, but that's not how we use websites anymore. That's not what we care about when we go to websites these days. We're shopping. We're looking for answers. We want to know who can help us and how they're going to help us.
So it's a business conversion tool.
It is. It absolutely is. That is the biggest gap I see with architecture firm websites, is that they are not using their website as a business development lead generation tool. So many websites that we have looked at and I don't know that this is fully covered in our report that's coming out next week, but when I look at websites, many architecture firm websites, so few have any kind of lead generation. Some of them actually, and this is in the report, many of them actually hide their contact information. There's a stat in here, whereas, 43%, only 43% of the sites that we looked at had both their phone and their address on their website. Now, why is this important? Well, if you are familiar with Google, you know that Google has Google Business Profile. Google Business Profile is what we call a local SEO tool. Okay. Every firm that is listening to me right now, if you have not claimed your Google Business Profile, shame on you, because that is your number one way to get in front of local people in local search. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about maps. I'm talking about when you search architect near me, you're going to get a little thing on the right-hand side with a list of three firms, right? We call that the snack pack, right? Those top three firms are the most visible firms, and they're going to get the first clicks 99% of the time, right? Okay, so if you don't have your phone and your address on your website, Google cannot verify that your name, address, and phone number are correct in the Google Business listing. And so that's a huge gap. Now, of those remaining 57%, 30%, 36% did not have either a phone or an address. Okay, so a full third did not have a name or address on their website. And I'm just like, I'm gobsmacked on that one. I don't even know how to explain that. Like, you have a business website. The bare minimum is that you have your business information on there. So listen, I'm not trying to beat up on architects here. This is not, you are not the only ones with these kind of problems. But what I am trying to do is I'm trying to wake people up, right? Because we are well into the 21st century now. We're in 2025. We've come a long way from, you know, lugging our portfolios around town and, you know, slapping them on desks and having people thumb through them. But that's what most of the websites are designed like. They're designed as if people are just looking for some miracle design that they see that they want that architect to replicate for them. That is not how you want to work anyway as an architect. You don't want somebody coming to you because they saw something you did and they want you to do it again, right? You want the next level of project. But if you can't get found and if you can't make a case for why you're a good architect and why that next level of project is going to hire you, then you're missing out on a huge opportunity. What we found, this is also interesting. So comparing the bottom quartile to the top quartile of website score versus organic traffic, right? So in the bottom quartile, the websites that were scoring equal to or less than a 42, that bottom quartile had about 74 visits per month on average. The upper quartile, which was, it's slanted because we didn't have anybody score over an 81. So it was 58 to 81, had an average of 335 visits per month. So that is 4.5 times more traffic just by having a better website.
And it's amazing that no one scored over an 81. So nobody's doing better than 81.
No, and I do want to impress upon people that we excluded our clients from this testing because we've tested them before. And most of our clients are scoring 80 plus. And I see this all the time because, you know, we've done a lot of websites for our clients and, you know, I hear it from them. Oh, you know, I just got another lead. And we also track this. We have lead generation tools on websites, so we can track this. And we see how often they're getting contacted. It's shocking to me that there's so many firms out there that are just kind of ignoring this, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of architects, they are designers, and so they think they can design it themselves, and they go to Squarespace or one of the other tools that are make it easy to design your own website.
Yeah.
And you go put it together, or you hire somebody to put it together, and you're just using these basic tools, and you're not focused on building a site that is a business development tool.
Right.
You're designing a site that you, as an architect, love to look at.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it's not going to work the way it needs to work in order for you to get the work that you're looking to get.
Absolutely. That is one of the things that I often talk to architects about is this, there's a gap, right? You've been told, you've been educated, you know, if you do great work, more great will come. Great work will come, right?
Right.
I went through the graphic design school. I got the same spiel. You know, I heard this from every professor I ever studied with. Just do great work. You'll never starve. You'll be fine. You'll love what you're doing and all this. It's great. It's a great way to think about your work. You know, I just got to build up my portfolio, have a great reputation. Everything's going to be fine. But here's the thing. I went to school before the days of the internet, like a lot of business owners these days, at least architecture firm owners, you know, we're all of a certain age now. But we weren't, you know, the internet wasn't a thing then. The internet didn't really become a serious thing until probably about, you know, I started doing major sites in the late 90s. You know, I was a little bit ahead of the curve for most people, but I call those the experimental days. That lasted for about 10 years. Then we got into the everybody needs a website phase. And that probably lasted for, you know, another 5-10 years. So then in about 2015, all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, we're getting all this traffic, but nothing's happening with it. We need to start converting it to actual business. That's the purpose of a website these days, is to educate your client, to help them understand why you're a good fit, and to get them to contact you, whether it's by the phone, whether it's by email, or whether it's by a sophisticated sales funnel tool that you have on your website that is, you know, includes a digital download and a consultation call and whatever else you want to do.
And you could still show them your portfolio?
Oh yeah, you have to.
But it's just in a different place in the process, right? You need to get them to contact you. First, you need to be visible.
Yeah.
Then they need to convert and contact you before you even need to show them anything.
Yeah, I think this is the way I've been there. You know, I was a graphic designer. I was a photographer. And I did this for a long time too, right? I just put my work up.
Right.
Oh, here's my work. You know, look at my work. The problem with that now is that what we have learned is that people go through different phases, right? We call this top of funnel, middle of funnel, and bottom of funnel, right? I hope everybody out there listening has at least heard of the concept of a marketing or sales funnel. So you have the tofu, the mofu, and the bofu, right? Just to shorten them up, right? So the top of the funnel is where you're just trying to make people aware that you exist. That's your SEO. That's your blog articles that you might publish. Or, yeah, you know, like our good friend, Chris Novelli, he has a video series on YouTube. That's his top of funnel kind of introduction to him as an architect, you know? At the top of the funnel, they're just looking to see like, hey, do you tick a couple of boxes that would be, you know, a good fit for the project that I want to do, right? Like, are you somebody I should be even considering?
Yeah.
But then they move to the middle of the funnel. Now they're looking at other stuff. They're looking at your team. They're looking at you. They're probably looking at your LinkedIn profile and your social media pages, but they're also looking deeper in your website, your process, how you work. They might be looking for some clues about how you charge and what it might cost, maybe some case studies even. But then they get into that bottom of the funnel. That's where they're making the decision. Am I going to call this architect? That's where they're going to look at things more closely. And that's where they might look at your portfolio. They may or they may not. But that's usually the stage that they're going to start looking at other details. They're going to look at testimonials. They're going to look at maybe look at some of the awards, like, have I ever heard of any of these? They might look at some of your qualifications. Or, you know, do they have LEED certification? What projects have they done? Do I know anybody that's worked with them? That's where they're doing their due diligence. Like, do I really? And so if you don't tick all those three stages, they don't get to the bottom of the funnel and they don't call you. They eliminate you. And so at the very minimum, your website has to be able to take them through that funnel and make a case for why they should contact you.
As we wrap up here, Brian, your report's coming out next week or the week after that, depending on when this comes out.
Yeah.
People, what should they expect when they download this report?
Well, it's a very complete report. We have 50 pages of information here. A lot of it is background and glossary and things like that. I think my key takeaways, for people are going to be really the implementation. Like, how can I fix this problem? We didn't want to just put something out there that was like, oh, you know, shame on you architects, your website's horrible.
Here's how terrible you are.
Right. We actually included a roadmap to transform your architecture website, right? So there is
answers in the report.
Yeah, there's kind of like I think this goes through like a 6 months plus ongoing roadmap of what you can do to what you should be looking to fix on your website. What I would say to that too is that if you're going to take on a project like that, I would put together a team just like you would with your architecture projects. You need an engineer, you need a GC, right? You need other people on the team. If you're going to do it yourself, I think, you know, that's a different approach. Not highly recommended because most architects don't know how to write websites and it's not something they specialize in. But if you are going to go that route, if you are going to DIY it, make sure you're writing for your audience. Don't write for you. Don't write for other architects. Don't go to Gensler and look at their website and go, wow, you know, they got all this stuff. That's how I'm going to model my... Don't do that. That's what a lot of firms do, unfortunately. They just look at other architects and then they copy what they do. That is the wrong thing to do. You want the language and the content on your website to be authentic. You want it to come from you. You want it to speak directly to the types of clients that you want to attract. If I give any advice, that is the advice I always give to somebody who is thinking about redoing your website. Use a client-focused, a client-centered approach, just like what you would with your project, right?
Final question. I didn't remind you about this, but this is the question I ask everybody at the end of this episode. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I think it goes back to what I just said. I think a lot of architects would probably argue that they do this already, but I would argue that you probably don't do it as well as you think you do. You have to put your client at the center of what you are doing in terms of marketing, communication, client experience. I recently read a book that I'm going to recommend on this call. I'm actually thinking about getting certified in my coaching. Will Gadara, The Unreasonable Hospitality.
Great book.
Read that. Watch The Bear on Hulu, because The Bear is based on a lot of the experiences of Will Gadara and his restaurant, 11th and 11th.
I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. He was a consultant on that show. And you see a lot of parallels between the show and his book. And what he does at every stage of the game, he's putting his clients first and his team in the process. But he says it over and over again, everything I do is for the betterment of the restaurant. And as a result, it's for the betterment of the team and for the clients and everybody else. But he's always putting the business as the key element to being able to serve his clients well. And I think if you're an architect, if you're struggling with, you know, why am I getting the projects I'm getting? How do I level up, right? You have to think about how you can better serve your clients, how you can make their experience better, how you can make them raving fans and not just, you know, participants who are following along in a process, right? So yeah, for me, I would say that's how I would answer that question.
His name is Brian McCartney. The company is Arcmark. The website's arcmark.co. Make sure it's .co, arcmark.co, arcmark.co. And Brian, you do a clarity call?
Yeah. So anybody out there who's listening to this and is considering, like, you know, hey, it sounds like Arcmark knows what they're talking about. Sounds like Brian guy makes a lot of sense. You can go to our website, arcmark.co/clarity-call, and you can schedule a free clarity call with us. You can apply for one. We don't accept everybody, but do apply. If you apply and you don't get in, you'll get pointed to some resources. But if you do get in, you'll get a 20-minute call with me where we can talk about some of your struggles, some of your questions about business, branding, marketing, business development, sales. There's a lot that I can help you with. I am a certified coach. If you're familiar with Donald Miller, I'm a member of his program. And I've built 6 creative service firms of my own. So I can help you with some things. And we can have a conversation, see if there's a good fit. And if we want to continue to work together, we can look at how that would work out.
All right. Sounds good. arcmark.co/clarity-call is the link to apply for a clarity call. The report will be over at BQE. We don't have a link yet for that. Brian, when you get the link, just send it to me.
I will.
We'll put it on the show notes so we can just go to the show notes and hopefully the link will be there for you. Otherwise, check out BQE's website. I'm sure they'll be talking about it as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll have it on our website too somewhere pretty quick.
Yeah, and we'll have the link on our show notes as well. Brian, thank you. I appreciate you for all the work that you do for our community of architects. You are dedicated to the success of small firms. You've done a lot with Entree Architect community and the network and our membership. You're a business coach. You've done programs with us. We're talking about doing additional programs in the future. So thank you for your dedication to the success of small firms and Entree Architects community in particular. And thanks for coming by here and sharing more knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's always a pleasure. And let's not wait so long for the next one, all right?
All right, sounds good.
It's been a while. Awesome. Thank you.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember 3 words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.